This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, well, we've got a lot more audio, obviously, of other stuff, too, which we'll do later, including Count Grandstangela, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage Band on the cut sheet as well. So fantastic. We got some good montages as well. So yeah, we'll do that. I want to do some of the Biden cuts for you, though. I've talked a lot about what Biden said. I haven't actually gotten into some detail. There's a couple of things, though, that I thought really last night kind of hit me on some things. Number one, Biden talked about saying what he's going to do differently in the next couple of years. And he said, you know, what he's going to do in year two. They asked him that. Said, so what are you going to do in year two, Mr. President? This is what he said to that cut number nine, Bill.
President, at least in our recent memory, with as much Washington experience as you entered this office with, but yet after we sit here for more than an hour, I'm not sure I've heard you say if you would do anything differently in the second year of your term. Do you plan to do anything differently?
Yeah, look, the thing I have to do...
Are you satisfied with your team here at the White House, sir?
I'm satisfied with the team. There's three things I'm going to do differently now that I've gotten... the critical crises out of the way in the sense of that movement, knowing exactly where we're going. Number one, I'm going to get out of this place more often. I'm going to go out and talk to the public. I'm going to do public fora. I'm going to interface with them. I'm going to make the case of what we've already done, why it's important, and what we'll do, if what will happen if they support what else I want to do.
Now, think about this now. He spent half his time in Delaware, but he's going to get out of the White House even more. I'm going to get out of this place even more. Where? Probably Wilmington. Maybe Rehoboth. It's hard to say. Maybe Bethany. Maybe I'll get a house in Bethany. Maybe that, too. Biden's problem is not getting out of the White House. Biden's problem is staying in the White House and working. And secondly, too, Biden's problem is not staying in, not leaving D.C. It's he doesn't stay in D.C. He doesn't go to Capitol Hill. He doesn't bond with these people. These are supposed to be all his friends and his buddies. And I mean, can't get his own party on board with his things. So maybe the problem is not staying in D.C. too much. Maybe it's not being there. I'm throwing it out there. I'm just saying. Then, of course, Biden suggested that the upcoming election won't be fair. Now, again, this is what I mean in terms of he talked about fake polls last night, suggested elections are going to be fair. We have been told, anybody who questions November 2020's election, anybody, you are fueling the next insurrection. We hear this all the time. How dare you question that? You can't have any doubts about it. You have to accept it. It's the first thing that people are asked when they go on television all the time. Do you accept the results of the November 2020 election? Do you accept that Biden's a duly elected president? Blah, blah, blah. Happens constantly. It's like a rite of passage now on the media. They have to ask. Well, there's Biden, the president of the United States, yesterday, laying the seeds, sowing the seeds of doubt that if his election bills don't pass, the ones that he wants, we can't be sure we're going to have fair elections in this country, knowing that those bills are not going to pass, sowing the seeds, laying the doubt, cut number seven.
Speaking of voting rights legislation, if this isn't passed, do you still believe the upcoming election will be fairly conducted and its results will be legitimate?
Well, it all depends on... whether or not we're able to make the case to the American people that some of this is being set up to try to alter the outcome of the election.
Stop it right there. Thank you, Bill. It's all about whether or not we're able to make the case to the American people that some of this is being set up to alter the outcome of the election. What he just did was he gave you a preview into what the war room strategy is. So the war room strategy is, look, tell the American people that we can't get this done. What's that? Did somebody say something? Oh, so what? Tell the American people the reason why we can't get this done is because they are laying the stage. Okay. to make the election unfair. Knowing we can't get the bills passed, make the case to the American people, that's why we can't get the bills passed. Because what they're doing is they're setting the stage for the elections to be illegitimate. And Biden's point is, if you pay attention to it, it's only if we can make the case to the American people that the election's illegitimate because they didn't pass what we wanted to pass. So he's acknowledging basically what was discussed in the war room. The strategy here is we will say that the election was illegitimate when we get shellacked. And what we need to do is convince the American people that had these bills passed, it would have been legitimate. But since these bills didn't pass, it's not legitimate. And probably somebody in the room made the point of saying, do you think we can convince the American people that? And somebody else in the room said, well, it's all about if we can. If we can convince the American people that these bills didn't pass because they were trying to make the election illegitimate, then we'll achieve two things. Number one, they won't blame us for our failure to pass them. And number two, we can rally people around whatever close elections we have to say those elections are illegitimate and rally our voters around them and court challenges and everything else. That sounds like a good plan. Play it one more time, Bill. With that context in mind, you can see what Biden is saying here. He's saying the quiet part out loud, as they say. He's saying what he overheard, basically, in the political strategy session. He's just sharing that out loud.
Speaking of voting rights legislation, if this isn't passed, do you still believe the upcoming election will be fairly conducted and its results will be legitimate?
Well, it all depends on whether or not we're able to make the case to the American people that some of this is being set up to try to alter the outcome of the election.
So about whether or not we can make the case to the American people that some of this is being set up to alter the outcome of the election. If we can make that case, then we can accomplish two things. We can be excused for our failure to pass this stuff. And number two, we can court challenges, rally our voters where there's close elections, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's a big deal, what he just admitted right there. And I don't think it's getting enough coverage. Shocking, I know. But it's a big deal. Just imagine if Trump had said it. Imagine if Trump had said in front of the White House press corps, well, it's all about if we can make the case to the American people that what they're doing right now is being done to make the election illegitimate. He's like, you're saying that the election is going to be illegitimate, and that's what you're going to spend the next several months making the case of based on these bills that don't pass. I mean, it's stunning. It's a stunning admission from the president of the United States, if you think about it. Stunning. And then the other, of course, major gaffe of yesterday's press conference was what he said about Putin. And I already told you, I mean, this whole thing with a minor incursion versus major incursion and how, I mean, when he said that yesterday, everybody from, I mean, MSNBC, CNN, all these other places turned around and said, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. What did he just say? And then they've been trying to spin this ever since, but it wasn't the first time he said it. And this is what he said regarding what he expects Putin will do, which is basically to go back into Ukraine, cut 14.
David, I'm not so sure he has... certain what he's going to do. My guess is he will move in. He has to do something. And by the way, I've indicated to him the two things he said to me that he wants guarantees on. One is Ukraine will never be part of NATO. And two, that NATO or there will not be strategic weapons stationed in Ukraine. Well, we can work out something on the second piece, pretending what he does along the Russian line as well, the Russian border in the European area of Russia. On the first piece, we have a number of treaties internationally and in Europe that suggest that you get to choose who you want to be with.
Okay, so realize right now that if you're Putin or you're any other crazy person around the world, all you're hearing that and you're going, wait a second. So basically, we don't have to worry right now about him doing anything. All we have to do right now is do whatever we want, because he's going to accept it. He's going to passively accept it. I mean, he's Neville Chamberlain in that respect. He's just going to, whatever happens, happens. And, you know, we'll tell him don't do it, but he might do it anyway. We'll tell him not to do it in very stern language, but he may do it anyway. So we know that, and there's nothing we can do about that. The other point, too, that I thought was amazing is... there were a lot of people who were offended by his speech when he said, if you're not with him, you're Bull Connor, you're Jefferson Davis. You remember all that, right? I mean, Mitch McConnell stood up on the floor of the Senate and eviscerated him for that, excoriated him for that. He said, you know, how dare you suggest that those who disagree with you are traitors and racists and segregationists, some of the biggest abusers of civil rights in this country. How dare you suggest that, Mr. President? And he did. And then he tried to spin around it yesterday at the press conference by saying, well, I didn't say you were Bull Connor. I just said you're being the same side of history as Bull Connor. Kind of like saying you're Bull Connor. It's not saying that you're the one who maybe ordered the people to turn on the fire hoses and hit people, but you're right next to them, so history's going to judge you the same way. Kind of the same thing, if you think about it. But he was asked a question yesterday about people who were offended by his speech. Kristen Welker of NBC asking that. Cut 10.
People heard the speech that you gave on voting rights in Georgia recently, in which you described those who are opposed to you to George Wallace and Jefferson Davis, and some people took exception to that. What do you say to those who were offended by your speech, and is this country more unified than it was when you first took office?
Number one, anybody who listened to the speech, I did not say that there were going to be a George Wallace or a Bull Connor. I said we're going to have a decision in history that is going to be marked just like it was then. You either voted on the side that didn't make you George Wallace or didn't make you Bull Connor. But if you did not vote for the Voting Rights Act back then, you were voting with those who agreed with Connor, those who agreed with, and I think Mitch did a real good job of making it sound like I was attacking them.
So, remember now, we're not saying you're Bull Connor. You're just with the people who are with Bull Connor, which is basically the same thing. You're just not the leader of the band. You're in the band, right? You're not the leader of the clan. You're just one of the Grand Wizards. You're just one of the people at the meeting. But I didn't say you were the Grand Wizard. I just said you're one of the people in the white sheets. All right, let's not exaggerate here, okay? I didn't say you're Jefferson Davis. I just said you're one of the Civil War soldiers, okay? I said you're one of the people in the Confederacy who's advocating for secession. I didn't say you were the top guy. Come on, all right? I'm not going crazy here. Amazing. Amazing.
Can I piggyback on what you just said? Of course. With another cut?
Sure.
Somebody else, another reporter, asked him the same question. And he screams at him too. This is cut 17, Bill.
One more, sir. You know, you campaigned and you ran on a return to civility. And I know that you dispute the characterization that you called folks who would oppose those voting bills as being Bull Connor or George Wallace. But you said that they would be sort of in the same camp.
No, I didn't say that. Look what I said. Go back and read what I said. And tell me if you think I called anyone who voted on the side of the position taken by Bull Connor that they were Bull Connor.
What?
And that is an interesting
reading. This is more confusing than the transgender swimmer beating the transgender swimmer or losing to the transgender swimmer.
It makes no sense.
And none of this makes sense.
No.
The whole show today makes no sense if you really think about it.
The most sensible thing was the reporter getting hit by a car.
That's the only thing that made sense.
If you missed
go
that.
Back and look what I said. I didn't say you're Bull Connor. I said you're with Bull Connor.
Yeah.
It's not saying you're with Bull Connor. It's also saying you're Bull Connor. Not Bull Connor. Read what I said. Read it. Read it.
Not Bull Connor, but Bull Connor.
But Bull Connor.
You're on the side of Bull Connor.
All right? Now, who's in the pool first? The one swimmer... Or the other swimmer beating that swimmer, and then the other swimmer winds up winning. Exactly. Read what I said.
That turned blonde in the sun.
I mean, he knows swimmers. I'm just saying. Good point.
There's more to that cut, though.
And that is an interesting reading of English. I assume you got into journalism because you like to write.
So did you expect that would work with Senator
Manchin? Wow, he's like mocking the guy's intelligence, putting him down. What's the matter? You can't read, huh? Huh? Was your mom hooked on phonics? Was your mom hooked on crack, too? Huh? I figured you got into journalism because you could read and write, but maybe I was wrong.
I love in these instances when you can hear the real Joe Biden come out because, you know, like it, since he's been president, he's been like the, you know, the grandfatherly nice guy and stuff like that. But everybody who's followed his career knows that he's a prickly son of a, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He loves to mock people, loves to go, and he goes low and he goes mean and he makes personal comments, you know?
Yep.
How did you get into journalism school if you can't read and write, huh?
Dummy.
Dummy? What'd you get hit by a car to get in? Huh?
So bad.
Let me rewind it a bit.
And tell me if you think I called anyone who voted on the side of the position taken by Bull Connor that they were Bull Connor.
And
that is an interesting reading of English. I assume you got into journalism because you like to write.
So did you expect that would work with Senators Manchin or Sinema?
No, here's the thing. There's certain things that are so consequential. You have to speak from your heart as well as your head. I was speaking out forcefully on what I think to be at stake. That's what it is. And by the way, no one forgets who was on the side of King or Bull Connor. No one. The history books will note it. And when I was making the case, don't think this is a freebie. You don't get to vote this way and then somehow it goes away. This will be stick with you the rest of your career and long after you're gone.
So what I'm saying is the history is going to write you like you're Bull Connor.
All right? You're not comparing me to Bull Connor.
I'm not saying you're Bull Connor. I'm saying history is going to say you're Bull Connor.
But you just... Oh, well, that's calling me Bull Connor.
No, it's not. Listen, can you not speak English? Huh? Let me try this. Why don't I try this? Does that make sense? Is that something you can understand? Why don't you clean out your ears, jackass, huh?
You run a 7-Eleven.
Yeah. What are you? What is this, English? Oh, I didn't realize English was your second language. That's good. Glad to see the White House press corps so diverse, huh? Hey, Q-tip boy, listen up.
No, just,
I didn't say you're Bull Connor. I said history's going to remember you're Bull Connor. The difference.
The real Joe Biden comes out.
That's
I
right.
Love it.
Snarky, mean, vicious, right?
Yep.
That's who he really is. You're right. Everybody's like, oh, he's so warm and grandfatherly. Yeah, until he takes his cane and goes, watch this, whippersnapper. Boom. Amazing. Oh, man. All right, let's do this. Let's do some news. A check-in with Dawn. We get a lot more of this, obviously, as the show goes on. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210. Dawn, good morning.
And good morning. Zioli Show News Live, sponsored by United Tire. 43 degrees right now. We are watching when the change will happen weather-wise in Philadelphia and across the region. Snow expected to begin falling within the next hour. Of course, following up on the Mumia Abu-Jamal case, he has again appealed his conviction for fatally shooting a Philadelphia police officer. And as you know, Maureen Faulkner, Danny Faulkner's widow, as well as George Paquetto, her attorney who's working for free on the case, Philadelphia FOP, all holding a news conference announcing this and what they're doing as far as filing, new appeals on this to make sure that Danny Faulkner's killer remains behind bars. So we've been following that, and Zioli's been following it for quite some time, but I'll update you on that one as well. We have parents in a Pennsylvania school district. This is making national headlines. They are expressing outrage after a photograph of a school employee uses tape to tape a mask to a little
boy. This is a crazy story.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so give us all the details of it.
And this is North Penn District.
Shocking.
So the school district.
It's always North Penn, isn't it?
I know. The school district, you know, released a statement and just said this does not illustrate who we are and all of that. But, you know, they say after an immediate investigation, this was determined that while the incident was isolated, no malice was intended. And the actions of the teacher were entirely, yes, inappropriate and unacceptable, no matter the context. But there was no malice. Parents are furious over this.
But why was the kid taped? So what exactly did it look like?
So if you look at the photo, you see the child in this is a middle school, right? So this is a child in the desk. And it's one of the old school desks that's all one piece, right? And so kind of backed up against the wall or the chalkboard, and has the mask on, and the teacher has like masking tape, and is taping the mask to the child.
Crazy. That is nuts.
I will tell you that I know a family in the area, in the suburbs. This is Chester County. They were told that all the kids were asymptomatic but tested positive about 2 weeks ago. And the little girl, 5 years old, so you relate to this because you have a child this age, what they called and said, even though the 10-day period where you're quarantining is over, she's not wearing her mask properly. Well, she's so little, it slips off of her face a little bit. But because of that, she needs to stay home longer. So this mask thing is a real thing with little kids going on.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's absurd that a teacher would think it's okay to ever duct tape that to a child. I hope that teacher gets fired. There's no excuse for that. None whatsoever. None.
It's but to say to release the statement immediately and say no malice. It's like, well, you're taping somebody, you know, something on somebody's face.
Right. I think it's pretty much malice. I'd say that's the very definition of it.
And just quickly, I'll top that with, you know, what's happening with Philadelphia Health Department, that announcing on one side, many parents expressing relief that the health commissioner, Dr. Cheryl Bedekel, had come out and said this is a major change. And in a way, they're departing from the CDC because they're saying no matter what their priority is, they're going to keep kids in school. They're not going to do these. They're not going to look at the case counts and then say, oh, well, a school has this many kids who tested positive, so the school has to shut down. The goal, she says, we're going to keep kids in school. We're going to figure it out. On the other hand, they're saying if the school does not have the HVAC, it's an older Philadelphia school, which we have a lot of those too, then we may have that child quarantine the 10 days to mitigate the spread. So they're taking a very individualized approach, and it looks like they're working with the principals as well, which is something very new. Because it's a huge district, right? So that one is very interesting. And then, of course, Governor Phil Murphy, it was announcement Wednesday. So he made this big announcement of new executive orders taking effect so that this now requires all healthcare workers and employees in nursing homes and prisons, places like that, you must be fully vaccinated. And fully vaccinated in New Jersey means boosted against COVID-19.
And by the way, there was a report that came out. I have it that research that was done shows that the booster does not stop the Omicron variant.
Yeah.
So, I have that in my show sheet.
So you can do that. But for those workers who are not vaccinated at all, their first vaccine must happen within the next 7 days or these folks are going to get fired. So that's the latest on that one. Of course, the big story that affects everybody across our region, when does the snow start or will it start? So it's 39 degrees raining in Philadelphia right now. And obviously, depending on where you are, South Jersey warmer. So these numbers have dropped through the morning, if you notice. So now we're looking at 36 by 9 a.m. And that means rain or a mixed kind of sleet rain. So now the snow looks like maybe 10 a.m. and then tapers off. So it's looking like 2 inches. Remember they said 1 to 3 first thing this morning. Now they're saying 1 to 2 inches may fall. But it's still pretty warm. And then the event is over by 12:31 p.m. So it's a smaller snow event, but the roads are still quite slick out there. Okay, our sponsor, as I said, United Tire. We all want somebody to talk straight with us, especially the person we trust to service our vehicle. So that's exactly what you get at all 12 locally owned and operated United Tire and Service locations. Need new tires or maybe an oil change? United Tire, they have it all. Visit unitedtire.com. Schedule your next service. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Zioli Show News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you. 855-839-1210. If you want to weigh in on any of the issues of the day today that we are discussing. So talk more about the transgender swimmer issue and more audio on Biden coming up later in the show. Also, just wanted a couple of other little little fact checks for you. He said, my plan cuts the deficit and it boosts the economy by getting more people into the workforce. Biden and his aides, that is not true, by the way. The Congressional Budget Office found that the Build Back Better Act would add $3 trillion to the deficit by 2031 if its programs were permanent rather than allowed to expire in what critics have described as artificially short timeframes designed to give the bill the appearance of costing less, because it's a little bit of a little bait and switch, as they say. If the programs expired, as written by Democrats, the Build Back Better Act would still add $367 billion to the deficit by 2031, according to the Congressional Budget Office. Remember, the Biden administration said it was a fake CBO score. So not only have they decried the legitimacy of polls, the upcoming election, but also the CBO score as well. Don't forget that as well. Experts, the Penn Wharton budget model from the University of Pennsylvania found that Biden's plan would reduce America's gross domestic product over several decades and would even slightly lower hourly wages over the same time period. I have more fact checks for you, and I'll share them with you throughout the show and then, of course, on my podcast later today. Dr. Mike Veneria, my buddy, my friend, a great dentist. For 9 years in a row, he has been South Jersey's top dentist 9 consecutive years. And not only is he my dentist, but he's my wife's dentist, my kid's dentist, and my parents' dentist as well. 3 generations of Zeolis, all with different needs, all delighted by the care Dr. Mike Veneria and his award-winning team provide. Dr. Mike's office is unique in that they provide exceptional care in advanced fields of dentistry like dental implants, while still ensuring that all of your family's needs are met and exceed your highest expectations. General dentistry, cosmetics, pain-free root canal treatment, it's all there at Dr. Mike Veneria's office. And there's simply no one better at dental implants than Dr. Mike. He's one of South Jersey's top implant dentists. Dental implants are an art form, and Dr. Mike gives you the self-confidence boost you deserve. Locations are right over the bridge in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. So schedule your free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. And you're going to love, too, the office's great music play and really nice people who are going to take great care of you. And people ask him, they say, does Rich really come here? Yes, I really do. Had my cleaning done in December, got my mouth, my new mouth guard, my snore guard from Dr. Mike a couple weeks ago. It was great in there hanging out with him. You'll enjoy talking to him. He's just a terrific guy, and he is the master of dental implants. So reach out to him today, 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Well, I heard you crying loud all the way across town. You've been searching for that song.
Thursday, Friday morning. Thanks for being here today. 855-839-1210. We're monitoring shovable snow. And I'm giving you all the latest from Biden's press conference yesterday. There's also some breaking news. I'm going to go to Dawn in just a moment. There is a, of course, a study out about the Omicron variant and the booster. I'm going to give you some details on that as well. I think the key thing to think about is, with everything going on with vaccine mandates and everything else, and we're finding out now that the vaccines and the boosters do not stop the transmission, you really have to ask yourself, why are we doing this with mandates other than virtue signaling stuff? And Biden yesterday did not rule out an order for domestic travel for you to be vaccinated and boosted. But booster shots with messenger RNA vaccines, such as those made by Pfizer and BioNTech, failed to block Omicron in a study of some of the first documented breakthrough cases of the new variant. This is from Fortune.com. 7 German visitors to Cape Town, South Africa, experienced symptomatic COVID-19 infections between late November and early December, despite being boosted. The researchers, whose investigation was authorized by the University of Cape Town and Stellenbosch University, said in findings published Tuesday in The Lancet, all the cases were mild or moderate, providing support for the extra shot's ability to fend off severe disease, death, and hospitalizations. Still, the findings demonstrate Omicron's ability to evade immunity generated by even the most powerful COVID-19 vaccine boosters. That underscores the need to continue fighting the pandemic with measures besides vaccination. The shots appear to generate protection against Omicron with other parts of the immune system in addition to antibodies, such as T cells, and so far hospital mortality data have been less severe than with Delta variant that dominated earlier. Now, I have a couple of thoughts on this. Number one, they're acting as if the reason why there's been less hospitalization and death is because of boosters and vaccinations. Maybe. But what if it's also just the fact that Omicron is just a milder variant? We don't know. I mean, that's the thing. They don't know. They don't know. I saw a doctor last week, got the booster, a couple weeks later got COVID. He said it was the Omicron variant, but he was super sick for like 10 days. He had a horrible cough. He thinks he got pneumonia. So still it hits people differently. But I guess the point is that, I mean, here's a guy who's vaccinated and boosted, and he had a very severe case of it. So it still kind of affects people differently. But I think that regardless of all of that, because I don't know if the jury's out on this strain that vaccines and boosters do, in fact, make it less severe. That seems to be what they say. But again, they've said things and they change their minds on this. But I think what we can conclude conclusively, definitively, I should say, is that it doesn't stop the spread of the disease. It doesn't stop transmission. That's the key point. And I bring that up because I simply want to understand how a government can justify a mandate of something or a requirement to go somewhere if the overarching reason for justifying that is no longer valid, which is that it stops the transmission and thus protects other people. It doesn't. So, you know, I don't know how you can, with a straight face, argue that these mandates are okay if they don't stop the spread. And like I said to you yesterday, you know, the idiocy of this is that if Philadelphia, with these dumb rules, say I am vaccinated, but say I'm not. I go to a restaurant. As of a couple of days ago, I could show them I had a negative COVID test and I could go in and I could eat. Now, I can't unless I'm vaccinated. So I got to show my vaccine card. But the problem with that, though, of course, is that you could have, say, 30 people inside a restaurant. Everybody in there is vaccinated, boosted, but they still spread COVID to each other. They still get each other sick. Whereas the one sure bet you have is that the guy with the negative COVID test is COVID negative. And you won't let that person in because they're not vaccinated. You see how stupid that is? This is what I mean. In the idea now of pushing what has become a religion, first it was masks, now it's vaccine mandates, they are making moronic public health decisions that will not protect anybody. But we have some breaking local news. I want to turn to Dawn for that. Good morning, Dawn. Are you there, Dawn?
Yes, I am. We're following this breaking news within this hour. City Councilman Bobby Heenan resigning this morning, officially a month before he's to be sentenced following his conviction on those 10 counts of conspiracy to commit, quote, honest services fraud, honest services wire fraud, and federal program bribery. So as we've covered the trial, right, he and Heenan, as well as John Daugherty, powerful union leader, were convicted of in this federal trial. So Heenan, we've learned, submitted his resignation to Council President Darrell Clark. It's effective this hour, 8 o'clock this morning.
So remind us then now, what has he said publicly, Dawn, Bobby Heenan, following the conviction?
So he said that he served the people of the Northeast well. And even in this statement for this morning, he's saying that he will continue, you know, he loves the Northeast. He'll continue to always have his heart in the Northeast. And there's a special election that'll be called to fill his seat probably the same time as the May 17th primary. But what he has said is that, you know, he served the people of the Northeast. So he has not confessed to anything. He fought the charges and is facing sentencing, obviously, in, you know, late February. So, I don't know if how his sentencing, obviously, these are serious federal crimes that he was swept up in. And this was his $70,000 salary. So, in other words, he was saying this was transparent. A salary can't be a bribe because I earned a salary. Everybody knew it. I earned it, you know, with the union, which I had been a part of. But now he is resigning.
So then what happens to his seat then? Is there a special election?
Yes.
They do that?
So it looks like the insight is it'll happen at the same time as the May 17th primary.
Okay.
And State Representative Mike Driscoll is expected to be the nominee. Obviously, we're talking about Democrats here. So Heenan, at least for now, he still is the leader within the Democrats of the 65th ward. So his leadership continues, but he has resigned his salaried city council position.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, corruption in the Democrat Party in Philadelphia. Who would have ever seen that coming?
It's a shocker.
I'm shocked. We're all shocked. Amazing. Amazing stuff. All right. Well, thank you for that update, Dawn. We'll have more, of course, for you at 9 o'clock with the news there. Thank you. 855-839-1210. We still have a lot to get to on the show, by the way, but there's a lot more to come. A Penn State professor, perhaps, Bill, you had this guy in class at one point. He says the following. Maybe masked drunk drivers should speed through pro-COVID neighborhoods. Why is it a parent's right to endanger the lives of other people's kids and of teachers? Professor Edward Fuller tweeted Sunday, maybe people wearing masks should just drive drunk and speed through the neighborhoods of pro-COVID parents as a way to exercise their freedom and rights. Now, he's an associate professor of education and director of the Penn State Center for Evaluation and Education Policy Analysis. He since deleted the tweet and switched his bio account to private, according to our friends at the College Fix. Bill, was he one of your professors?
I don't recognize the name. I'm going to look and see this picture of him. Maybe, well, he's now blocked his Twitter, so never mind.
You see that? you need an invitation, Bill. That's the thing, right?
Well, he might. I mean, us Penn Staters are a cult, so he might allow me in.
It is a cult.
Yeah.
It is a cult. We are a cult. Go ahead, say it.
We are a clear cult.
Well, kudos to you for admitting it. That's some sage advice there. And woke Howard Stern says the unvaccinated should be deprived of medical care. Medical care. There you go. I don't know what to say about all this compassion that's out there today in this day and age.
I just want to say one thing about Howard Stern, please.
Yes.
Like, he's made a career out of saying shocking things. So, like, you know, the fact that he's saying this is not...
Well, do you think he's just saying it to be shocking?
Yes. He knows, like, he's 70 years old. He's been doing this for 40 years. He knows how to get headlines. You know what I mean? So he knows what he's saying is not a very popular opinion. I just think he doesn't care.
Yeah.
I could be wrong because he is a lot more PC these days. But, you know, I saw that in Variety, and a lot of people have been, you know, posting the audio stuff, and I'm just like he's been doing stuff like this since 1995. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, what can I tell you? I mean, you know, I just think that it's kind of mean to deprive people of medical care.
Yeah.
I think it's mean. Call me old fashioned.
Do you want to hear it? I have Stern.
Sure. Why not?
Did you Did you edit it?
Did you edit it, or am I going to hear F-bombs?
No, it's from a previous. I found it. It's edited, yes.
Okay.
If it was up to me, anyone unvaccinated would not be admitted to a hospital. At this point, they've been given plenty of opportunity to get the vaccine. They've been told by our nation. Right. They've been told that you will die if you don't have the vaccine. Some of you will live, but most of you will die. And they don't trust our government. They think that there's some.
I love how he's all in on trusting the government now. The big libertarian who's going to run for governor of New York. Remember that?
By the way, a government that he spent years fighting. Talking about censoring him because of the FCC.
Right. A government that he spent years fighting because, and now he's all in on trusting the government. He's literally become that cartoon of the van. I didn't say you're Bull Connor. I said you're Bull Connor. Open your ears, dummy.
He got mean and woke.
I mean, mean and woke mean often and go woke. Together, though, Dawn. You realize that, right?
I mean, you know, yes, he got woke. He's not like he's not any more mean than he was. Like he ran on a like on a ticket of electrocuting or killing criminals and putting their body parts in potholes to fill potholes.
Well, that like, was a sensible idea with all the potholes they had at the time. I mean, I think people could still get behind that position today.
But that was the platform he ran on in 1994. So to say he got more mean is just, you know, it's not right.
Yeah, nah, he's just desperate for attention is what he is.
Well, that's true.
I think
he was, you know, people didn't take him seriously back when he said stuff like that. And he was crude. Every woman who was good looking, what did he say to her? Can I see those things? Let's take off your shirt. I mean, he was crude. He was shocking.
Okay.
But you laughed at it. It was sarcasm.
It was funny. But let me ask this question. What about, and Chris, the other Chris makes a great point about this. What about smokers? Everybody knows how bad smoking is. Should we deprive smokers of medical care?
Of course not.
What? Well, I disagree. What about drinkers? Everybody knows how bad it is to drink. When I need my new liver, which should be any day now. Huh? Deprive me of my medical care. No, I mean, it's stupid. Where does it stop? I mean, this is the point about, you know, if you want to give a surcharge to somebody because there's a smoker or something like that, they do all this stuff. But there's lots of people who live life on the edge. And we don't charge them, and we also give them medical care. I mean, what if a guy's out there sleeping with prostitutes and he winds up getting a disease? Do we deprive him of medical care for that?
Oh, don't no,
most,
I'm kidding.
don't most doctors and emergency technicians carry Narcan on them to revive
it's a great point.
People who have
they
OD'd?
Have
you know
yes.
what I mean?
It's
like
a great
rather
point.
Than just let them die.
In fact, they encourage private citizens to just walk around with Narcan.
Yes.
You know, there's efforts by governments to ask you to please do your part, walk around with Narcan, so you can save the life of somebody who's ODing because it instantly saves their life. It's like a miracle drug. It's a miracle, Narcan.
It is.
I mean, to use the argument, though, of not giving vaccinated people medical care, hey, listen, you do opioids, you do heroin, you know, you do fentanyl, you know the consequences. Drop dead on the streets.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Why should I spend my money saving your life? I mean, you could take this all the way, right? If a drunk driver gets into a car accident and is barely hurt, no medical care. Sorry. Right? I mean, it's just, where does it stop?
Well, go to a local emergency room where a perpetrator got shot. And should the emergency room doctors not save the 16-year-old perpetrator's life because he's shot? The doctors, of course,
if a guy, right, if a guy's a criminal and he gets into a shootout with police, we still try to save the scumbag's life, right?
Yes.
We're going to save his life so we can try him and hopefully execute him. But at least we try to save his life in the moment.
Yeah.
We need you to be healthy so we can hopefully kill you one day after a trial.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we do. We give prisoners medical care. Should we deprive prisoners of medical care? To use his logic to the utmost extreme, and obviously he has no logic here because he's trying to make a, you know, trying to be sensational. But just from a logical perspective, I mean, everybody in prison gets some of the best medical care on the planet. On the planet.
Yeah.
Maybe they shouldn't. You know? Just go in and die. You'd be, you know, if you listen, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. All right? Just saying. All right, 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in. We got more to say today. Obviously, we got your chance to win. We got more audio for you. And a question for you, too, which is that now that Joe Biden's filibuster death is dead, is it over for Democrats? Don't go away.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We'll be watching a a lot of football this weekend. Obviously, pro football playoffs are here in the Parx Sportsbook app. It's the only app I ever recommend or use. Why? I love it. It's safe. It's easy to use. And you can bet on more than just the score, because obviously our team is not in it, right? Saturday, looking at Green Bay. My brother, John, loves Green Bay. Now a six-point favorite hosting San Francisco. The over-under on that one, 47.5 points. And then Sunday, just looking at Tampa Bay, -2.5 hosting the L.A. Rams. Over-under on that one, 48 points. Kansas City is now a two-point favorite hosting Buffalo. The over-under on that one is 55 points. So here's the thing with Parx. If you're a new customer, make your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just download it in the App Store. Click parxcasino.com/PA. Make sure you use my promo code DAWN1210. Your risk-free bet is then refunded in site credit. You can see their website for all the details. The Parxbook Sports app. It's game time. It's got to be Parx. Well, you must be 21 and in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It is Thursday. We're watching some shovelable snow. We'll give you an update on that. Just a matter of moments in the 9 o'clock hour. We got a lot to discuss in the 9 o'clock hour with you. All the details of Joe Biden's press conference yesterday, of course. Continuing to do that for you as the show progresses today. You know, I don't know about you, but it just seems to me like every time we are talking, you and I, about the world in which we live, there's always outrage somewhere about something Republicans have done. And yet Joe Biden's failure to get things through is entirely his own party. It's entirely his own party blocking him. I mean, it really is amazing. So we'll talk more about that in the 9 o'clock hour with you. Went a little late there in the last segment, but that's OK, because we got a whole hour to go. So please don't go away.
Talk radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.